Well, we have opportunity now to open the Word of God and read from James 1, 21 through 25. This is what we're going to look at this morning. Some of us, I was not involved in it, but there was recently a Sabbath school that looked at the book of James, and going through Anthony Salvaggio's commentary on it recently, so you'll have fresh in your minds some of the things Anthony said with regard to this passage. James is concerned with that we are doers of the word, that we are good hearers of the word, yes, and also doers of the word. So we'll take a look at that in verses 21 through 25. But to get the context, we'll move back a few verses. So James chapter 1, and we'll pick up in verse 18. So we read, "In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you and come into your presence this morning. And now we come before your word and ask expectantly that you would instruct us, that we would not be legalists trying to buy your good pleasure, but would be fully reliant upon Jesus Christ, and out of a heart full of love would desire to live in a way that pleases our loving Heavenly Father. Father, we ask you to instruct us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the title of the sermon was Being a Doer, Not a Doer. Does anyone know what a doer is? I guess which one? Does anyone know what a D-E-W-A-R is? I figured we'd have one in the back. Okay. What's a doer? Well, we know what a doer is. A D-O-E-R, right? That is someone who does. What is a doer? D-E-W-A-R. Well, that is a container that is somehow insulated by leaving a vacuum space. We call it a thermos or a carafe sometimes, right? This is where we've got a double insulated container. We pour our coffee in, and the inner wall holds the coffee, and then there's an outer wall, and between the inner and outer wall there is a vacuum. And that absence of matter, of gas or liquid or solid, makes it difficult for either the cold to get in, speaking unscientifically, or the heat to get out. So we pour our coffee in the morning, and maybe in the evening, if we want a hot cup of coffee, it's at least pretty hot, if we've got a good thermos. Well, question. Can we be, same word, D-E-W-A-R, doers of the Word of God? Can the Word be in us? And somehow we conceive of ourselves as being pure vessels holding the word, but it in no way affecting the exterior. The way we might place our hand upon the side of a carafe, and it's even though the coffee is hot enough to burn our tongue, the carafe's still cool on the outside. Can that be us in the Christian life? Or if the word is in us, will it necessarily show? Will it necessarily affect the outside? Well, if nothing else, you've got a vocabulary lesson, right? Well, our passage today, James is speaking, as he does throughout the book of James, to people he understands to be Christians. He opens the book up with this: James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. So the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. He makes it clear elsewhere that he's speaking not broadly of all who would call themselves Jews, but of those Jews, ethnically, who have come to trust in Jesus Christ, their Messiah. He's speaking of those who he can rightly call brethren, and he does on a number of occasions. Brethren, brethren, those he understands to be bound to him, to be fellow children of God through Jesus Christ. In verse 2 we read that, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." He says, he calls us a first fruit. If you look at verse 21. Nope, let's move up just a little bit. Not 21. 18. We read, "In the exercise of his will he brought us forth by the word of God, word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures." The idea there is that we've been born, we've been brought forth by the word of God. That is, the word of God was effective. The Holy Spirit yielded it in our lives and we were born again, as Jesus speaks. We were born from above. We were born anew. What were we born to? We were born to be a sort of first fruits. So we've got a whole creation around us that's many thousands of years old. But we are a first fruits. We are a new creation, a renewed creation. So he's speaking of people who, I don't even want to say profess faith, who he understands and isn't necessarily questioning at all to be Christians. And yet he's going to challenge them. Maybe he won't outright openly come and question them at times, but he's going to challenge us without calling our faith into question. Again, he calls us brethren. He calls us new creations, and yet he's going to be very firm in his challenges. So one of the challenges he makes is the one we're going to look at today, and that is, are we doers of the word? Do we do the word, or do we just hear the word? We might make another connection here. Again, James is speaking to Christians. A lot of the book of James kind of rings of the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, you don't have Jesus expositing, per se, the way of salvation. You have him describing the kingdom. You have him describing the occupants of the kingdom. Those who will be in his kingdom, those who are in his kingdom, are those who are gentle, are those who are meek, are those who mourn. In the same way, James is going to not so much show us the way of salvation, understanding that he's speaking to Christians, but he's going to describe who his audience should be. So as we listen to James talk, he's going to be telling us who it is we should be, what it is we should look like, and that gives us the opportunity to kind of step back and go, do I look like that? And question ourselves where appropriate. Well, James is speaking to us, the church. And he begins this section that we're going to look at in verse 21. It all runs together, but I'm not going to preach the whole chapter today. So we've got to start somewhere. Verse 21, he says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Again, he's speaking to those of us who call ourselves Christians. And so he's going to recognize that we have the ability to do what he's just told us to do, and that is to put off sin. But he also wants us to recognize the fact that we are polluted, that there is sin in our lives, and that sin does get between us and the Lord. We are Christians, yes. We have a relationship with the Lord, yes. Are we pure? No. We continue to sin. And so what does he say in 21? He says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted." This isn't Paul preaching to the heathen. This is James speaking to us, and he says, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility. This is part of what we're called to do as Christians, as one recognizes the state of our heart. The one thing that a Christian should always be doing is struggling with sin. And if we're not struggling with sin, don't think it's because there is none. If we are those who love the Lord, we also need to be those who are endeavoring to take hindrances away. What are those things that are keeping us from a more intimate relationship with the Lord? Well, it's our sin. We need to acknowledge it's there. And the first step he tells us is to put it off. And then to hear. This is very Pauline, perhaps. You know, Paul says, put off and to put on. Paul, again and again, is going to instruct us and tell us to let him who steals quit stealing and start working. And James is here going to tell us to, as Christians, be about the business of putting off the wickedness and the filth and being hearers. That is, seeking out what the Lord would have us do. So, maybe the first application that we need to mention is simply the importance of being hearers, being good hearers. It's hard to be good hearers with bad sermons. I recognize that, and I'm not going to assume that I'm the easiest person to listen to. But we have plenty of ways of bringing in the Word of God. We bring in the Word as we read it. We now have, I don't know how many Christian radio stations in Kansas City. Not that all of them are always great, but you've got opportunity there to hear the Word of God. You've got opportunity online to download sermons. You've got opportunity to audio Bibles, MP3 players. You've got more access to the Word of God than has ever been known in human history. We don't take advantage of that. I'm not trying to, I'm not telling you I do and that you don't, but none of us do. We don't recognize what we have. In fact, maybe with all our access to the Word of God, we do less hearing than many. And that might be even more true as we start to think about what hearing really is. But we ought to come with an expectancy. When we come before the Word of God in the morning, when we open up the Word of God to read it, there ought to be an expectancy that the Lord who gives counsel to me, that the Lord who instructs me even on my bed, that the Lord who is ever present with me, that the Holy Spirit who's wielding a sword that is sharp will instruct us when we open the Word. When we come to church, we ought to expect that we will be instructed. Maybe you won't hear anything new. In fact, hopefully you won't hear too many things that are new. But that we'll be instructed and that it will be valuable. Well, James, again, speaking to Christians, he knows Christians. He's sat in church with Christians and he's well aware that sermons aren't always helpful and aren't always easy to listen to, and it's easy to kind of let our eyes glaze over as the text is being read. It's easy, perhaps, to let our minds kind of turn off and go on autopilot as we read our passages in our morning Bible studies. In fact, I often find myself, if I'm reading a book, if the author quotes a scripture passage, I'll kind of let my eyes skim over it, assume that I know it, and then get back on to what he's saying. I don't know if you do that. But I've often caught myself doing that. I'm reading a book and it's talking about, explaining a verse of Scripture, and then it'll give the verse of Scripture, and I just kind of, by my eyes, glaze over that. Yeah, yeah, I know what Paul says in Romans. And then I move on and I start reading it as if somehow that's less important than this book. We need to expect that the Word of God is capable of changing us and is powerful. Well, let's just say just that, and that is the Word is powerful. What does James mean when he says the law of liberty? He says, but the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. That's a interesting phrase. Again, I've said it so many times now, James is speaking to Christians. And I think this is a phrase that's very full of meaning to us. What is the law for a Christian? Is it the way by which he justifies himself? No, it's not. Is it what he delights in? Because it is a codified representation of his Father. Yeah. Is it what he delights to do, or she delights to do? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Is it what we have been freed from our sin to do? Well, yeah. So the law of liberty, this is an excellent little phrase. This is what we are now free to do. We are at liberty to keep the Word of God. Well, we talked about that the carafe. Remember the carafe? We said, can it, hot liquid is poured into it, or the doer, hot liquid is poured into it, and yet the outside remains cool. Regardless of what's put in the center, the outside remains unchanged. But if we think about the effectiveness of the Word of God, can that happen? No. James gives us an illustration. He says in verses 23 through 25, he's expressing in perhaps sarcastic terms what it is to think that you could spend time in the Word of God and be unchanged by it. That you could be a hearer. I'm listening, I'm hearing you. But it's just not doing anything. The idea that somehow you could be internalizing the Word of God, that it could have converted your soul, that it could have changed your heart, that you could be a new creation and yet unchanged on the outside. To be a hearer but not a doer. That's what he's speaking to now. And he says, hypothetically, if that could happen, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I don't quite know how to take him in this illustration, because I can think of two ways that fit very well. And perhaps, not that he means two things, but he's got both in mind as he thinks of the illustration. I can look at a mirror first thing in the morning and see that I have messed up hair, or see that I have something in my teeth, or see that, you name it, I haven't shaved. The mirror reveals something to me, right? It reveals something. I can come to the mirror thinking I've shaved and my hair is combed and there's nothing in my teeth, but when I look at the mirror, it reveals something of my true state. Turns out I haven't shaved, there is something in my teeth, and I haven't combed my hair. Now, for me to walk away from that mirror and do nothing about it is completely ineffective. It's foolishness. And, you know, so the idea being for me to think that I'm a good person, for me to think that I'm pleasing God, and then to come to the Word of God and have it show me who I really am. We were reading through Jeremiah in our family worship, and we got to a part where the Lord is very hard on the fact that the people in his city care very little for the poor. And I thought, well, I tithe and I do other things, right? I care for the poor. But the passage kept sticking. The Word of God was showing my true state. It was making me question, do I really care for the poor? It was like a mirror showing me who I really was. But I can think of another thing that James might mean by this illustration, and that is simply, it shows us who we are. He's speaking to Christians, right? In Ephesians, Paul opens up by describing for us who we are. Let me read that for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in his beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He's talking about you. According to Paul in that passage, who are you? Well, you're children. You are children who have been loved since before the foundation of the world. You are children who have been loved and set apart for holiness to the praise of His glory. Well, that's who you are. You forgot that. You came this morning thinking that you were any number of things, but you've forgotten who you were. You're children of God. You're children of the Most High. And the mirror shows you that, right? But we walk away from the mirror and we continue living some other way, right? We're not doers, we're hearers, but we're not doers. It's too often the case. And so maybe there's kind of a positive and a negative. And again, I say I don't know if he had one of those in mind or perhaps both, since a mirror illustrates both of those quite nicely, but I can find biblical reason for both of those ideas being in it. But either way, we've been shown something of who we are, positive or negative or both. When your hair is a mess in the morning, do you ever walk away and do nothing? Maybe your sons do. You change it. You fix it. When you look in the mirror in the morning and you realize that I'm 5'11", I weigh 190 pounds, and I walk outside and some 400-pound guy is upset with me about something, am I going to act as if I could somehow take this man? No, I remembered who I was. I was 190 pounds this morning when I looked in the mirror. I'm not the sort of guy who could handle this 400-pound man. That's who I am. I remember who I am and I act accordingly. As Christians, we remember who we are and we live accordingly. Well, what is the real danger of being a hearer and not a doer? Or what is the real danger of somehow thinking that we can be a container for the Word of God, that the truth can really have that effect in us, and yet that we remain unaffected on the outside? Well, verse 22 reads, but I'm Ephesians. There it is. Verse 22 reads, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." And here's the danger. Here's why we give attention. Perhaps we fooled ourselves into thinking that we have heard and we have understood and that we are really, truly children of God. We have fooled ourselves into thinking that somehow we can be insulated containers of the Word of God. That the change can be real on the inside and completely unaffected on the outside. And James says we are deluding ourselves if that is the case. We cannot do that. There's no such thing as a D-E-W-A-R in the Christian life. There's no such thing as a carafe. What is on the inside is translated to the outside. What is on the inside affects the outside. If we are hearers, truly hearers, we are those who have heard and who have understood and have taken it in, which is really the Hebrew idea behind hearing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. God's command to continually hear was essentially a command to hear and do, to internalize. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, the question that James is imploring us to ask ourselves, what does the outside look like? And is the outside a commentary on the inside? I heard someone once say, somewhat tritely, if you were convicted of being a Christian, could anyone prove it? That's the sort of question James is asking. You say you've heard. You've not done. You're deluding yourself. If the outside is showing no effect, let's each personally decide we're going to examine what is truly on the inside. Have we heard? Have we understood? Well, let's close there. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before you humbly, knowing full well that you cannot be bought and you lack nothing. Lord, you commanded us to show forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Father, you said that if we are in you, we will bear much fruit. Lord, I ask that you would give each of us the sort of skill of introspection that would allow us to examine our fruit and to examine what's on the inside. Father, that we might have the ability to look inside and say, am I the real thing? Have I heard? Have I trusted in Jesus Christ? Have I been converted? And Father, when we answer in the affirmative, that we would then set a new course to be affected in our doing as well in our believing. We ask, Lord, that we would be true hearers, that is, hearers and doers. That you would affect the sort of biblical change that is requisite in one of your children. And we thank you, Father, that you give us the power to do that. In Christ's name, amen.